So tell that story again, just as you did, with the same feeling and inflection. Go back. All right, take two. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, forgetting yet again that Portland Ginger Brew is not a twist top.
Would you like some tools?
Yes.
There you
Nestled
go.
In the heart of Cascadia.
That's right. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, and adventures, and life hacks. And today, not one mini.
Not one?
Not two minis. Not three. Oh, I mean, no, it's two. It's two minis.
So it's a smaller version of a mini.
Yes, a mini mini.
Brought to you by... No. Very good. Very good. We're here with Matt Brown, who is one half of the team behind the new Mini Mini, which is a new convenience store. Is that the best terminology?
Yeah.
What do you call it?
We look at it like it's a... the Mini Mini is a convenience store refreshed.
Okay.
It's renewed.
There we go. The newest, freshest version of a convenience store.
Yeah.
Which is not too far from where we record right now. I went there not by accident, but I didn't know that it was yours.
Oh.
I think the first time I went, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, and it was convenient, and I found what I needed, and you were there. You happened to be there that day, and I don't know how often you're there. Probably a lot, I would assume.
All the time.
Yeah, but it was really cool, and I was thinking that if there's one institution in a bicyclist's life that is perhaps on par with a bicycle shop, like the bicycle shop is probably the most important commerce to a bicycle commuter, but right after that, the convenience store is the thing that serves more needs more often, at least for me. Like, if I need beer, I'm going to the convenience store.
I was thinking of the few, like, long-term tours that I did and how, like, the convenience store was, like, your oasis in the desert.
Seriously.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. So thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Yeah. Matt and I are also friends from way back in the day growing up. So we have known each other through many phases of life, one in which your trailer got stolen.
One of them, the trailer got stolen.
What was the circumstance?
We were so I was playing in a band. I don't know, maybe 14 years ago.
I mean, it's been a long time.
Maybe
now.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were here in Southeast Portland, and we toured a lot. We were on the road 6 months out of the year. And a lot of times, what it is you go out for a month, you come back for a week, and you go back out again. And that also meant that a lot of the dudes lived together, just strictly because you can't afford rent when you're gone that much.
For sure, yeah. So your place is on the road.
It's on the road. And you know, so also it means that the band van is somebody's actual van for getting places.
Right.
So we come home. We're home for, I think we were like 10 days at that time. And the morning before our tour, I came to the band house just to make sure everything's in place. And I see our van there. And I don't see our trailer. And this is just on 20th here in Southeast. And so immediately I panic and I run down into the basement where we practice and wake up the guys. And, you know, one of them being one of our old buddies from college. And we know for a fact, just from all the bands that we have toured with and that we have grown up around, if your trailer gets stolen, they are just taking it far enough away that you can't just run up to them and hit them. They're going to gut it, and then they're going to bail. So for us, it was like everybody jump in a car.
Time is of the essence.
Time is of the essence.
You got to go find this guy or these people.
Yeah, exactly. And so we split up into zones, and we all went in different directions.
You guys, like, strategize this?
Oh, yeah.
Right on.
And anyway, so we called the cops while we're driving. Called the cops, told them what was going on. I believe that it was our buddy and our guitar player, Matt Reichert, who spotted the trailer.
Hmm.
And we all converged on the same spot. And I come flying up, and he's pulled the van up to the trailer, and he's trying to get it in a position so that he can hook it onto the van. And as I come up, this guy comes flying across his lawn. He's yelling at us because he thinks we're stealing the trailer from his neighbor.
Well, your kid's in a band, right?
Well, yeah.
You look like kids in a band.
Yeah.
You don't look like you own a trailer.
Exactly. We're young and tattooed and definitely didn't look like we owned much. And it was just one of those things where it was bold and it could have got us in trouble, but that trailer, we had to have it for the next 6 weeks to go on tour.
Well, and yeah, that was like your whole life at that point was music. And so it's all wrapped up in there.
That was everything. And this guy screaming at us, he called the cops on us.
Did they show up?
Oh yeah, they showed up. They actually, we got the trailer attached to the van. We made it like two blocks before the cops got us. And we're like, no, we just called you. We just told you. And the police officers were just like, they were cool about it, but they were also like, you know that it's really not safe to go chase down somebody who just robbed you.
But here it is.
But
if we waited for you guys.
It's not a high priority for them.
Yeah.
And I think most things with touring in a band where you're not making any money, you're not sleeping in hotels. You're sleeping in the van or you're sleeping next to the van.
Yep.
Most of it comes down
to, if you're lucky, the venue space.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know, somewhere warm.
Yep.
Somewhere where you can actually stretch out.
Yeah.
In most of those cases, it comes down to boldness.
Sure.
And it's a matter of, like, are you going to let somebody take it from you? And, like, we didn't have anything. I mean, at one point, the house that my wife and I had, I quit my full-time job. Sold the house, sold a car just like a tour.
Yeah.
And when I think about somebody taking the trailer from me and stopping me from doing that, it's like an assault on my family. You're
taking your equity. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no good. So, yeah. Aaron, you have some, I would imagine, some experiences along those lines.
I've never chased down anybody.
Right. But you spent a lot of time on the road in a band as well.
Yeah. 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 I've spent some times in the Michigan, Indiana, Ohio tri-state area.
That circuit.
And up into Minnesota.
It's a well-known circuit.
Sure it is. That's why I'm here today.
That's why you chose that market, because you knew you could break big there with the style that you play.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Real appreciation for, like, you know, outside of the norm punk rock. Anyway, there were nights where we had somebody just standing by the trailer.
Just standing watch?
Yeah.
Like the night sentry?
And so, you know, you would go in and you'd do your show and then you'd load all your stuff back in. But then you want to hang out and, like, watch all these other bands play.
Sure.
At the very least, at least show, like, some kind of solidarity with them.
Especially,
you know,
in
they
the
suffered
instances
through your set.
When, like, the, you know, they're the only other ones in the venue.
Oh, right.
And they were there for your set, so you better be,
like,
there for
theirs. The audience sometimes comprises just the other bands.
Let's all play for each other. Yeah.
And so, you know, somebody has to stand outside. And, you know, it's Michigan. It's not, you know, California.
Yes, that is true. It's cold.
Yes. Yeah, it's like it's outside right now.
Oh, by the way, everybody, in other parts of the country, it finally got cold in Portland.
It actually snowed. Everyone freaked
out. How do you live
out
there, you people? This is weird. I have to wear a jacket and stuff.
I do regret not wearing my woolies under my pants
today.
Yeah.
I had that thing happen today where I put on my thick gloves, but the thick gloves are cold when I put them on. And then my hands stay cold for another 15 or 20 minutes on the ride until my entire body warms from the effort. So I had forgotten what that feels like. However, Doug and Phil, both from harsher climes
we got nothing
than us,
on them.
Yeah, they are the ones that they deserve all of your attention and compliments, high esteem. So, Aaron, did you do anything interesting this weekend?
No.
Are you sure?
I sure didn't sing karaoke.
That's true. Yeah, Ben Flores from the last episode. He got us all out to join Eric Iverson and a bunch of other folks. It was a fun time.
I was really surprised. I won't say this person's name because I'm not sure if they want everyone to know that they sing karaoke.
They don't
want to
be outed?
Right.
Everybody wants everybody to know they do that.
Right.
Anybody who does karaoke?
I mean, it's kind of by nature, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of fame that you want. That you're doing it and you're like, well, I don't want people to know I secretly love this a whole lot and that maybe I come here by myself.
Just don't tell anybody. Yeah.
Well,
you
but, saw me. Yeah. Here, so he came in and we're like all like, hey, you know, yelling his name. And
I think I know who you're talking about.
He didn't even like come to the table. He went straight to the like karaoke list to see what songs. And he wrote down his song and then gave them to the dude. And then came over and said hello to us.
But he meant business. He knew what was up.
He knew he had to get his name in early.
And if I'm not mistaken, didn't he do something by Echo and the Bunnymen?
Oh, wow.
Something about sugar kisses?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. We won't say, but we won't say who this guy was. But no. Yes.
A
secret karaoke fan.
He was really good.
Oh, yeah, he loves it.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me because this guy like shits gold.
That's right. That's right. That's what he does in his spare time.
Yes. That's how he funds everything else he does.
Well, and I always wondered how that worked. And again, we won't mention who this person is, but we wish him the best of success as he tries to race his bike around the world. You didn't hear it from us. So, yeah. I was there that night.
Did you get to sing? Like, so the reason why I didn't.
I tipped the KJ, but I did not get to sing.
You didn't get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw that guy.
The reason why I didn't get on there was.
Because
like,
you don't like to sing karaoke?
Well, okay, that. But I would have done it, like, because my brother was there.
For
and,
sure.
And
but you
that.
Were just sitting there at the table with your arms folded the whole time. Well, like, clearly not into the scene. It was so hilarious.
I started to ease into it.
Yeah.
And then someone like did a Radiohead cover. And so that like, it's kind of like when you're like wading into the pool and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to dive in. And like someone like jumps in and they splash you, you know, and you like get soaked and you're like, fuck
no,
all you
cold.
I'm out.
Yeah. Yep.
It was kind of like that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I had to be that way, but I am proud of you for going to karaoke.
It would have been more fun if I had actually just bit the bullet and did it. Oh, but anyways, it was such a long line. Like, and the longer I like waited, the more I was like, well, even if I put it in now, they're not gonna like, you know, call my name or whatever.
2 a.m. comes quicker than you think it will.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, it was good to see your brother. It was fun to hang out with him. It was fun to see Eric Iverson try to sing a song by Weezer that he didn't know.
Oh, really?
He put in a good effort.
I missed that part. Yeah. I saw him sing Maria from West Side Story.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, that was fun.
I wish I had been there for that. That's fantastic. So, yeah. Saturday, I went for a bike ride. Adele and I went to do some errands. We ended up at a coffee shop in the West Hills, and we got soup and bread. You know how nice it feels after you've been out in the rain and you've just like, yeah, you're not soaked, but you've worked hard enough to feel tired and cold, and your clothes are like half wet. That's the perfect time to go inside and eat soup.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we did. Yeah. And November's over, so now I can drink coffee again.
Oh, right.
Back on the caffeine.
So how was it? How was your first hit?
Wait, what?
I took a month off of coffee, or month off of caffeine.
Why would you do that?
Personal challenge. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It's not the sort of thing that a rational person would do.
No.
But that's what I did, yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to try it out. Like, I tried a month without smokes. I tried a month without alcohol. And I think I learned something from each one. The thing I learned from not having caffeine is that I really need caffeine with the early hours that I keep. So I'm glad to be back to it. Also, it makes you feel crazy if you haven't had it for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was good. So I enjoyed that. So anyway, that was the weekend. But speaking of coffee, you got some experience, Matt, in the coffee industry.
Yeah, sure do.
You serve coffee at your current establishment.
You know, after 12 years in the coffee industry, working with some of the absolute best and world known coffee purveyors.
Tell us your resume.
I ran Coffee House Northwest. I was at some shops before that, but I ran Coffee House Northwest back in the heyday, and that shop was known as the shop for coffee people. So if you were in the industry and you need an excellent, delicious cup of coffee, you came to us, and we're the ones who took care of you.
Not the shop for the employees of coffee people on 21st Avenue.
Not that.
Okay.
Though much love to the history of coffee people. Oh,
it's an institution. But it was just for people who love coffee in general.
Yeah. You know, and we were just kids that were trying to figure it out on our own, trying to figure out how to make delicious drinks and pay the bills. And I got, you know, for me, I'm really good at the management side. I'm really good at running a business and running teams and building up a culture around a space. And I was working with some people who were absolutely incredible at figuring out how to make the same delicious cup every single time.
Without the benefit of a machine that does that for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The technology has changed a lot since then. And I left Coffee House when my daughter was born. And I was working a lot of hours, and they were reaching a point where they were going to open up a roastery and spread out that way. And I couldn't stretch.
You only have so much time.
You only have so much time, and your kids are little for only a little bit.
Yeah, you were bicycle commuting from Vancouver for a short while, right?
Yeah.
How long did that last?
About a year.
Okay. Yeah, not a short while. That's a pretty good, that's a good chunk of time.
It was 12 and a half miles there, 12 and a half miles back.
Yeah, that's about what my commute was before I moved closer to work, so yeah.
Yeah, and then that was another thing about having a baby at home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fool around getting home.
You gotta go home.
Like, and the idea that there could be an emergency.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, honey, like, I'm going to hop on the bike. I'll see you in an hour and 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
Well, it doesn't feel right. As good to be as spread out as that when you've got people you care about that you're not nearby.
Yeah.
So, and, yeah.
I had to do, and another piece of it simply was, the logistics of riding your bike through the Pearl District and then into Industrial Northwest. And more times than I count, early in the morning, cars got so close that, like, I wrecked because Ooh. I thought I was going to
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things, like, right there at the end where I was like, no, let's not do this.
This is not the best option for what I do right now.
Yeah. And in that same zone, I transitioned and I helped build out and then open Barista in Alberta.
Right.
Beautiful shop. To this day, you see my name on a plaque on the bar.
Nice.
It's home, and I'm very, very proud of that. While I was there, a number of things happened, but the most important was that my wife got laid off from work.
Ah.
And there went our insurance. So it was, okay, now what do I do? Started looking at jobs, starting to get bummed, and one of my buddies was like, you have to apply at Stumptown. Just see if they have a job. You know Sure. those guys. You have a lot of history with them.
They're like the Starbucks of Portland, I guess, right? And now the Starbucks of Brooklyn because they were bought by a New York firm. But, yes.
God bless their success, right?
They did very well for themselves, yeah.
Yeah, and for a bunch of rock and roll kids that shouldn't have won, they won.
Yeah.
And so I don't like asking for favors. I felt guilty about it, but at the shoving of some people, I reached out to Stumptown. I got a job over there as a account rep. So I was a guy who was very, very successful running coffee shops and got the opportunity to help other people run their shops.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually I left, and that's where I met, my current business partner, John Felix Lund, and he was the head of education for Stumptown.
Okay.
And
I like the head of education.
That's good, right?
No, you gotta, if you want a certain thing done, you have to teach people how to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of people can make coffee. A lot of people can talk coffee. They can't teach it.
Mm.
They can't take somebody, who is working a bar and occasionally has to make coffee and make them, help them make excellent coffee. John can do that.
Okay.
He is hands down the best educator, in the industry that I've ever seen.
That's cool.
And, he and I instantly hit it off because I heard him say things that nobody in coffee says. He wasn't doing it, to be cool. He wasn't doing it because it was hip. He was doing it to help people.
What do people not say in coffee world?
The truth.
So he was a truth teller. Okay.
Yeah.
Those people always get in trouble.
It's not about how cool your latte art is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, about, how you dress. It's not about the charm of the banter. It's about making the same drink every day again and again. Absolutely delicious.
Mm.
And, repetition and, practice and routine, those aren't sexy.
Right.
Like, that's not cool.
In no way are those sexy.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that people think about.
And one of the things about coffee is in a year, you can learn all the basics of the science. You can learn all the book-ready facts about coffee, and you can spit those out.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes years and years and years and years for your palate to catch up.
Yeah.
And young coffee kids, they don't get that. They'll tell you all sorts of stuff, and it's not what's happening in the cup.
Uh-huh.
And and you'll see a common thing that happens with kids who love coffee and are passionate about it. When they're first starting to make coffee, they think that they're the problem.
Okay.
When they solve the technique issue, then the next thing that they guess is, well, the roaster's the problem.
Mm.
That's why it tastes weird. It's the roaster. And then when they figure out about roasting, then they go, well, it's the farmer. The farmer's the problem. They're not sourcing the beans in the right place. It happens so much and so often that it is a cliche. It's a real thing that happens. And every time I see some kid get stoked about coffee, I'm like, oh man, he's going to go down the journey of being a jerk. He's going to go, I'm the problem. And then he's going to go, the roaster's a problem. And then he's going to go, well, the farmer's a problem. And if he sticks with it long enough, he's going to get back to the fact that he's the problem.
He's trying to make this.
Is that the original issue there is
the original issue. Okay. And, it's just like wine. It's like beer. It's, like my true love bourbon. It takes time to learn it and to pull the nuance out of it. But the basics, they're all right there for you.
Okay.
And John has a way of digging in and making it more simple and getting people to a place where they can just repeat it again and again. And you see baristas that work with him, their stress relax. Like,
yeah,
their shoulders drop and they become more human because they're not worried about it.
I know what's happening now.
Yeah.
I can relax.
Yeah. It becomes easy to troubleshoot and to just know.
Sure. I'm guessing this guy bringing that approach to coffee probably contributes something to this culture you're trying to create around the convenience store as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So he brings that. What are you bringing to the convenience store?
Nothing.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
So, all right.
Humility,
so,
apparently.
That's it. Exactly. A big dose of it. Well, describe what it looks like, first of all, because this is a little bit different. And I think my experience in mini marts is either that if it's a big corporate mini mart, it's going to be super slick and super polished, and it's not going to have any soul to it. It's going to look like a machine. And you can't talk about your competitors, I'm sure, but I will. I'll say a 7-Eleven. Always looks like a 7-Eleven, and not in a great way. Whereas a Plaid Pantry, which is our local Minute Mart, they do all right, but they also they feel full. They feel crowded. There's so much foil packaging everywhere. And the mom-and-pop shops have, the shelves are taller, and there's even more product, and it's even less inviting. So you're doing something that doesn't match any of those descriptions.
Yeah, I mean, for me, while I was in coffee, I was visiting 20 to 25 shops a day, and you don't have time to grab lunch. You have to get in and get out quick. Like you were talking about being on a bike, right? Like you're not fooling around. Like you have somewhere to go.
You got expensive components waiting locked up outside.
Right.
Maybe not.
And you need to get in and get out. And like best case scenario with the traditional convenience store is you don't get sick. Right. Like that's the thing. You buy something there. And you're like, this is a gamble. Did it kill me? And the
how long has this roller dog been on the rollers?
Yeah, and so when I started toying around with the idea, it was after months of John and I talking about how do we start a business that's good for Portland that can complement this job that we have that we love.
Yeah,
you know, we loved working together. We loved working at Stumptown. Later on, we both moved to Cova Coffee Roasters, and we loved doing that. And, honestly, it was like, okay, how do we invest here with the things that we're good at? And we went down all these avenues of things that were like, yeah, it'd be cool if we did this. It'd be cool if we did that. And every day I was like, I'm so hungry. I have so much caffeine in me. My hands are shaking. I can't find a parking spot. I can't get a burger. I need to eat. And, you run into that enough times and you start going, why does this experience suck so bad?
Yeah.
And, I remember working with an account, at that time, one of my biggest accounts was New Seasons, and, working with them and talking to them about their issues. And one of the things that
New Seasons, by the way, for anybody who's not from Portland, is a locally owned grocery chain that exists here in town.
Yeah, absolutely killer, company. They take care of their people. And they try to bridge the gap between high-end things and just things that are normal that you would know. But they, one of their rules is that they only go into spaces that are 10,000 square feet or bigger. So it puts them on the outskirts of neighborhoods, which means that everybody who lives right in the neighborhood has to go out of their way to get there. And it left a gap. Am I always going to go out of my way to go to New Seasons? And then in the conversations with them, one of the biggest struggles that they had was they, like, everybody comes here and they get one thing they like. They get something that they're settling for, but they're still going to be hungry. And then they walk around for 10 minutes trying to find the beverage.
Oh, there we go. Because you can never find that cold case.
Right. And, yeah, the one that has what you want.
Right. Because
there's, like, 17 of them.
For sure.
And, anyways, doing that enough, it came about where it's like, I'm going to look into the convenience store industry. How do we find something that isn't super high and lofty? Like, I don't want to go into a convenience store and find $50 bottles of wine. At the same time, I don't want to go into a convenience store and be surrounded by 40s of malt liquor.
Right.
You know, and
with all love to malt liquor, because everyone knows I have a history and a love-hate relationship with that stuff. So, yes.
Each category has to have a classic.
Right.
Right. And so that's what I came back to. What if there was a convenience store that only had the classic and the rad? The brands that you know are tried and true. Coca-Cola. You know, you drink a Coke, you're not getting sick.
A Coke is going to be a Coke no matter where you go.
Coke's a Coke. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, a Snicker bar is always going to taste like a Snickers bar. Give me a shop that when I want to be bad or I've been at the bar and I just need something in me, I know that I can go get that bag of Doritos. But that's much more rare for me at this time in my life. I want the majority of the time something that is healthier for me, better for me, something that isn't going to weigh on me as I'm going from job to job to job, something that's going to actually pick me up. That's mini. That's taking, okay, I have these classic things, but I also have these really special things. Whether it's, you know, we have an entire refrigerator door of Rainier.
You do.
You want that six pack?
You
like,
do.
We got your back. But I got six other doors of incredible beers. I got one whole door that is mix and match four packs where you can just try out all these incredible beers that I'm finding from all over the place. Bringing them in, and you can literally sit there and make something special for you, make something special where you know you got that one friend who loves Hefeweizen, right? But you're not going to buy a six pack of it.
No, sir. No, I will not.
Yeah, right. You got the one friend who likes Belgians or sours, and then, you know, everybody else that drinks IPAs because we're in the Northwest. Like, and then that one person who needs a stout, right?
Right.
We can do that, and it can be special. And we don't have to have all the other junk. And I don't know, like one of my favorite snacks that we have is by a company called I Heart Quinoa. And they're quinoa puffs. And they're basically like the best cheese puffs you've ever had.
Ooh, we're going to try these.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thought.
And I love it. And I love being able to, like, people look at it and they don't know, is it gluten-free? Is it vegan? They don't know. They just know it's good. And we're sampling these things all the time. And that's another part of it is you come in our shop, you eat meat, we got something for you. You're a vegan, we got something for you.
First time I came in, I had that little the pepperoni log that you have. It's who makes those?
The actual company, I think, is called Bavarian Meat Co.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And,
it's tasty.
The Landjager was part of that early journey, and I love it. I love it so much. Honestly, I eat 2 to 3 a day.
Nice.
And
and so can anybody else.
And so can anyone
else.
They're
right there on the counter.
Yeah, and they're cheap, and they're made in Seattle, and we get delivery every week, and it's just like to know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And to know that, I don't know, there's nothing weird in it.
Well, that is the big question about convenience stores is that, like, oftentimes I will see something. I'm like, I like that flavor combination. I like the way that thing looks.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it will taste good, but I have no idea where it's from. And usually it ends up being from somewhere in
Or like what
Indiana.
Chemistry is involved in, like, processing this
is
thing.
Is it real?
Out.
How real is it?
Right.
Yeah.
So then take these things and what we end up with, especially if you travel coast to coast, is there's other people that have gotten this idea that convenience stores are a bummer. And they're making bodegas and they're making high-end markets. And you go in and you can't get, you like really just can't walk out of there with a six-pack for less than $10, right? You can't walk out of there with a meal for less than $15. They go so high-end. A lot of times these places will only have a few items. That's a bummer too.
Sure.
You know, and for me, it's like, okay, I don't want to be dirty, gross, and cluttered. I don't want signs everywhere. I don't want everything to be about a sale. I also don't want to be so high end that people are coming in and they're going like, I don't recognize any of this,
right.
You know? And it's like,
just the intimidation of like, this looks too fancy for that my convenience store needs or whatever.
Right. You know? And at the end of the day, do we need to have 16 bottles of different kinds of water? Do we need that? I don't think so. And guess what? The number one non-alcoholic beverage that we sell is just water.
Just water.
Just water. Just
access to clean drinking water.
Clean drinking water.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Right.
We carry one brand of kombucha. We carry, we carry Coke, but not Pepsi.
Which brand of kombucha is that?
Lionheart.
Yeah.
Local company.
Big fans.
I believe it's pronounced Lionheart.
That's how we say it. Yeah, they're very good at what they do.
They're the people behind the Portland Ginger Brew. Yeah.
They
right.
are the yeah. same people, and what you have is a commitment to not adding sugars. So the sugars that are in most of their kombuchas are coming from the actual fruit. You have a commitment just to holistic living and trying to do things right by themselves and their community. And I got to tell you, like, I put them through the ringer. Like, I was pretty direct. And I was like, look, I want a delicious, balanced kombucha without the hippies.
Don't we all?
There was...
Do we have any hippie listeners?
We'll find out soon enough.
Yes.
But you can understand, like, that's putting a booby trap out there. That's that's picking a fight. And you know what? They're one of their folks, Olive Bailey... She just laughed.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, let's just taste this. And like, it was that warm, good natured, heart that she brought to the table. And no matter what we did with all the different kinds we tried, this was the type of business we want to partner with.
Sure.
That's what makes Portland great. And, to know that it's just a few people behind that company and they're making something consistently incredible. And they wanted to support us. A bunch of nobodies.
That's cool.
So when we talk about the name, right, Mini, you got a mini mart, which is a small market. Well, we took the selection, the average selection of a mini mart, and we reduced it even further.
Ah, yes.
So we don't have any of the grocery stuff. You can't come in and get Top Ramen from us.
Right.
Like, you can't come in and get cat food from us, which I have been berated about.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah.
Cat lovers are out there, too.
But imagine... a really awesome, clean snack shop.
Right on.
Yeah.
You need to eat something right now so you can get where you're going. That's what I want to help you do. You're going to the coast to do mushroom hunting. I want to help get you there. You're going to Mount Hood to go fishing. I want to help get you there. You don't need everything under the sun for that. I'm
right.
not stocking your pantry. I'm stocking your adventure.
Your adventure. Or say you're on your way downtown to go to some kind of show, and you know you're going to be out on the sidewalk for a while. You need some snacks before you get into the venue for whatever band you're seeing.
That's what I'm talking
or
about.
Or if you're stuck on trailer duty.
That's true.
Standing
yeah.
outside the venue.
For sure. At a you venue know, not too far away. Yeah.
You were sharing that trailer duty story, yeah. and we used to draw straws about who would sleep in the van.
Oh, yeah.
And like... And what's crazy is you had to do it in the worst areas to do it. And so we would give whoever sleep in the van multiple like pocket knives. And we were a punk yeah. rock band, but we weren't that tough. You know, it's like, good luck. You know, and it's like, if we weren't going to all be there together, somebody still had to be
yeah.
out there.
Right.
I had this genius idea. We're going a little bit off topic here, but back to an earlier topic.
Nothing's
I had
topic.
This genius idea. It turned out to be really stupid. Of sleeping in the trailer.
Like on top of the band's gear?
Like on top of like all of our stuff or like,
so your head's on like the kick drum.
You know, I'm not a big person, so you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of space.
But if they steal the trailer, they steal
exactly.
You.
Like that morning the drummer came out and was like, you know, checking the van and he didn't see me and was freaking out. And I came out of the trailer and he's like, "What the hell is wrong with you?"
I'm glad you were okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But maybe you sleep near the trailer, not in the trailer.
Correct. Don't sleep in the trailer.
Right. Just as you would make a list of things that are in your wallet, but don't keep that list in your wallet.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in case you stole this, here's an inventory of what you just stole.
I'm really impressed, Matt, by the aesthetic. One thing that that strikes me is that you have like a window rail in the front of the shop. There's a place to lean.
Yeah. You know... one of the things coming out of the coffee industry was, if you get past gross convenience stores, the next thing that is a giant bummer are the people who work there.
Ah.
There's a convenience store not too far from here. Won't say which one, but we placed bets the entire time we were doing our build out, which took a very long time. We would place bets on whether or not the guy working would be on the phone or not. And then there was a secondary bet, which was, would he speak to us in the whole process or would he just stay on the phone?
Oh, like this while guy, checking
yeah,
out.
Yeah, this guy had the master ability to just ring you all up and never say a word.
Which is the polar opposite of like any high-end coffee shop. Like there are many shops with rules about not being on your phone when you're ordering your coffee.
Right.
But this guy was checking you out and you know, serving you all your stuff while not really acknowledging your presence.
Exactly, exactly. And so... for us, it was everything about the shop had to feel, about Mini had to feel like a great coffee shop.
Right.
When you walk in, you're speaking to somebody who knows your name, wants to know what you're doing, and wants to help you find something excellent. They smile. They're friendly. They have a life outside of their job. What kind of convenience store would put up a place for people to hang out and enjoy their pizza pocket or enjoy a quick drink or have their cup of coffee?
Right.
And encourage them to stand and talk to the staff.
Well, that's what the ashtray outside of the convenience store is for.
Right. A place to lean while you're eating your pizza pocket.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, we didn't go all the way to the steps of having somewhere for people to sit.
Like no cafe tables.
No cafe tables. And part of that's just pure selfishness. We know what happens in bathrooms on Burnside. If you have seats, you have to have a public restroom.
Ah.
You have a
right
public
on.
Restroom on Burnside, that means somebody's shooting up in your bathroom, passing out and spraying blood everywhere. I did my time with that at Coffee House Northwest. I don't want to do it anymore.
Right. And so if you know a way to avoid that situation, you got one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it plays to the idea too, which is we're on the go. You don't come to a convenience store because that's your destination. You become there because it's on your way somewhere.
Right. If you're hanging out at a convenience store, it's just because you have a few minutes of time to kill before you have to be at your next thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And because of that, we get people who lean up against that counter and they have, we have breakfast sandwiches. We have salads. We have, I mentioned the pizza pockets from Sizzle Pie. We have those. They come and they eat real quick and they have meetings before they go to the next meeting. Sometimes it's people who work at different businesses and they meet up and they literally have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible to see a culture already evolving around that when we've only been open for 3 months.
That is cool. And it reminds me of kind of what was appealing to the creator of Starbucks about the Italian cafes. And going back to coffee, like the idea that in Italy, when you go in for an espresso, you get one, you shoot it, and then you leave. And that was appealing to certain people. And that's, you know, the American coffee shop has not gone that way. The American coffee shop has brought Wi-Fi and laptops and big overstuffed couches into the mix. But there's still a need for a place to kind of circle up, be there, do your thing, and then keep on moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Coffee shops in America have become a game of who can out-cool each other.
Who can keep someone on that sofa the longest.
Yeah, you know, and what's even crazier is right now, all these innovative and cutting-edge shops are starting to look like one another. And they're creating I'm not taking credit for this. Somebody else said this to me, which is they're creating an Airbnb culture of coffee shops.
Interesting.
Any city that you're in, you can find your coffee shop.
Ah.
And it's losing some of, I guess, the point, which is like coffee is to caffeinate.
Right. Convenience.
It's to, yeah.
To move on to the next thing.
And I think that that's what I keep coming back to, is life's too short for there to only be one option.
Sure.
That you got to stand in a line waiting for everybody to get their latte. I drink black coffee.
As any right-thinking person should.
I want to come in. I want to get my black coffee. I want to go.
I think we all have the exact same coffee preference here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You mean excellent?
Yes.
Nice.
But yeah, that's the sort of thing that, yeah, if the convenience is a value to you, then that's, you've created a place where that can be the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Very delicious cool. coffee.
Yeah. You mentioned the pizza pockets. Those are great. I like there's a lot of collaboration with like locally sourced and other businesses kind of bringing their products to the fore, which is cool.
Yeah, is the pizza pocket like something that Sizzle Pie does for you? Because I did not know that was on their menu.
It is not on their menu.
It's on your menu.
It's on your menu.
The only place that you can get it. So it's called a Quickie Pie. That's a kickback to the Quickie Stop, the old school convenience store.
Yeah.
And it's called a Quickie Pie, and they make it exclusively for us. Now, I have to make a disclaimer. The dudes behind Sizzle Pie are partners of ours in Mini Mini.
Oh, really?
Okay.
They're incubating you or something.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay. Offensive.
What I do know is that they used to own a bar here in town called White Owl Social Club.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And
that's still around, right?
It's still here.
Okay.
But they sold it.
Okay.
And John and I were taking business meetings with bankers and potential investors every day in White Owl because it was right by the Covert Roastery. And we were taking these meetings and we were raising capital to do what we were going to call the mini. And we were telling one of our buddies, the head of operations for Sizzle Pie, about how we were going to do this thing. And this guy, he's one of the coolest, just most calm, chill dudes, always like just friendly and warm, right? And he like stiffened up, gave me this look, and I was like, oh man, he thinks that's the dumbest idea ever. And what had happened was, our now partners, Matt Jacobson and Mikey McKennedy, had secured this location on Burnside after it sat for 3 years empty.
Oh.
They got it, and they were like, we're going to put a market in there. Let's call it Mini Mini.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, for real?
So they were already thinking along the same lines.
They were already thinking along the same lines, and they had no plan. They didn't know necessarily what to do, but they knew that there's an opportunity. They knew the space was great, and they knew that there was people that were hungry, literally, for vegan options, gluten-free options, vegetarian options, and meat options all in one place that they could trust.
Yeah.
So we didn't know that. And this guy, his face changed, and it didn't settle well with me. And so we left, and we were talking to somebody else, and one of the roasters at Cova goes, oh, yeah, that's the place on Burnside, right? And I was like, what? And that's how we found out what they were planning on doing.
Oh.
So we called our buddy up and we go, hey, we were talking and now I know why like things got weird. Can you hook us up to meet these guys? And we sat down and they shared their angle. And I was like, well, I got this 45-page business plan. Like, I've been working on it for years. Like, this is like, we're going for it. Like, you guys want to go for it. What if we just did this together?
Can we work together? Yeah, that's great.
You know, instead of battle. And by doing that, what it gave us was the opportunity to have access to their creativity, their brand building that they've already done, their infrastructure. So having access to HR and accounting, which is really the biggest thing. And it took us a little while to work it out because you don't get into business with somebody you don't know.
Right.
So there's a lot of working out and tweaking the partnership agreement. We got it locked in. We became one company and we went after it. And, you know, we opened 4 years after I finished the first business plan, and that was a long road.
It's a long wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for all of us having day jobs and all of us having things that we're passionate about, you weren't seeing a pooling of money.
Uh-huh.
And that was the thing, is like, it's all spoken for. My money's for my family. And trying to pay the bills there. And you look at the guys, and as it goes around, like, we didn't have anything to pull from. And being totally average white dudes, nobody was going to give it to us. Like, so we had to fight for it. And it took a long time. And everybody told us we were crazy. And everybody told us, like, you should give up. Or, are you really still working on that? And we were. And we got it done. And we've created something that is unique and getting better every single day.
Yeah.
So I just think, like, the amount of luck that happened is insane.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let me do this, because sometimes we have a call to action. If somebody has an idea and you feel like it's a good idea, but you're not sure what to do, what do they do? And I'm going to play this behind you, as you say.
You got to knuckle down and you got to go for it. Absolutely, 100%. You got a great idea. You got to fight for it. You got to learn. You got to seek wisdom. You got to find out who did it already. Figure out where they messed up. And then don't do that.
There you go. Yeah. But overall, do it. Like, make the plan and keep after it.
Make the plan. Keep after it. Evolve it. Adjust it. Find people who have the strengths that you don't have. I'm really, really good at building teams. I'm really good at inventory. I'm really good at visual merchandising. You look at our space and how everything's laid out. That's my jam. But I'm really bad at coming up with logos and designs and the graphic side of it. Find somebody who's excellent at that. You know, keep building great people around you. Find the good ones and hold on to them. And don't stop.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's interesting, because, like, it makes me think of bicycle touring, and it could be a lot of other things too. But a lot of people always have this idea of, like, oh, I want to go bicycle touring someday, and then they never do because they didn't find the right people, or they didn't feel comfortable doing it alone or something like that. And, I mean, there's something to be said for going out and taking an adventure by the reins on your own. But there's also, like, playing to other people's strengths. And you're like, hey, I know a person who's going to do this. Like Spencer and Bobby, who are now, like, you know, they're on the other side of the world touring
in New Zealand,
because they got together and said, hey, we're going to do this. You got somebody else who's going to help you do it or make you do it. You're both signing up for it together, and you're both good at things. So, yeah.
Yeah. There's something to also, one of my takeaways from this is sticking to it and, like you said, like, fight for it, but also, like, just kind of staying with it the whole time. Like, hearing that you set up this business plan, and then it took 4 years for all of that to start coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Man, how many times have I had an idea where, like, after the first month, I'm like, well, this isn't going to work, and I'm just, like, done, you know? Yeah. And, yeah, how many other people are there in the world that do exactly that? Like, you get a good idea, stick with it, as opposed to, you know, well, all right, I've met my first obstacle, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, I think about, you know, Brock, when we met 16 years ago,
kids.
We were in college, and
kids.
And I did 5 years, that first round at college, quit and toured in a band. And then when I got done with that to go back to school, I started over again and went for a different degree. And ended up graduating with something completely different than what I started with.
Yeah.
And like, what I know is the 4 years of trying to build Mini was more valuable than those two college experiences combined, as far as, what it taught me about myself, what it taught me about what it means to trust, other people to carry their end, what it taught me just about how economics and life have to interplay, and you have to choose. You have to make decisions to not go with the big lucrative deal. People approached us and they offered lots of money to have control of the thing. And it was like, that's not our vision.
We'll put in 80,000 of these everywhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And,
only we could put like a big seven on it with some stripes behind there.
One of the most gorgeous logos of all time.
It really is. Some of my favorite colors too.
Oh yeah.
I don't know though. Like I love your guys' website.
Well, yes,
it's just this.
Most definitely. The
what am I clicking? There's nothing to click on. But
it's all right there. No, it's very simple.
Simple, you know, Helvetica-ish text.
No,
here.
That's what it is.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good call.
You have a degree in graphic design.
Well, that's true. Yeah. You know, I used my schooling.
So, one of our partners, Aaron Draplin, DDC Design, world famous graphic designer.
Yeah.
And he's very, very near and dear and close to the Sizzle Pie family. Now he's very near and dear to me, mainly because he's one of the only people that can just talk trash like no tomorrow and still make you feel loved.
That's amazing. That's a skill.
But he gets this idea of you see that logo and you know what it is. And it's very classic. Did it come from...
Yeah, it's very Mini-Mart.
It's very Mini-Mart.
Yes-esque.
Did it come from the 70s? Did it come from the 80s? Did it come from the 90s? When did that get established?
Right.
When you look at our sign outside our shop, they had to bring back tooling that hasn't been used since the 80s to build our sign.
Oh, really?
Is it like a contoured sort of plastic or a contoured...
Yeah, and instead of being a... I'm going to mix up these words. So instead of being embossed, it's debossed.
Debossed goes in, embossed comes out.
No, embossed goes in and debossed comes out.
Ah, damn it.
Oh, okay. So like a raised contour. Yeah.
Yeah, a raised contour. And that kind of design was all purposeful so that you saw it, you know what you're dealing
right.
with.
Right.
Like this is established.
Yeah.
And that's the same reason why we didn't come up with some sort of crazy name. Why just have it be super, super simple.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten it.
Yeah, that's good. But you can also say, like, I'm going to go down to Mini-Mini, and no matter what else is coming out of your mouth, people know what you're talking about.
For sure. Oh, can you get me one of those things, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, congratulations, sir. I'm glad it's real. I'm glad it's in the world.
Thank you.
And it's very close to where we are, so I need to stop by again soon. But, yes.
Can we talk about the Crowler?
Oh, you know, we should mention briefly what the Crowler is, because we talked about that the first time I went in. I got a Crowler. And what is this exactly?
It's God's gift to beer drinkers.
Or kombucha.
Or kombucha drinkers.
Or kombucha.
Man, I got me a Crowler of Heroes Blend. I couldn't get enough.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So, so originally the idea was, you know, we, as a group, all of us are prone to going outdoors and going camping and going to the coast and things like that. So, of course, you want a lot of beer that's fresh to travel with you.
Yes,
so
you do.
We were like, you know, we're going to get our own custom ceramic or glass growlers, and they'd be super cool, and, like, we'd brand them, and, like, people would come back.
Because everyone's got one, you know?
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, so you got to have it.
And I was on a fishing trip to Bend, outside of Bend, and we got done fishing, and it was one of those days where it was pretty successful, but they weren't trophy fish.
Right.
Right? So you're kind of like, well, I may have bummed out some baby fish's day, and maybe they have, you know, self-esteem issues from here on out. it wasn't fish you keep. You just put them back, and now they got a scar. And so anyways, we're like, what are we going to do? Let's go into Bend. Let's go hit Boneyard. And we thought, like, I didn't know, and I thought Boneyard, like, had a typical tap room. You go sit down, have
Boneyard
some pints.
Brewing, yeah, I've been there. It's amazing.
You know, and warm up. And the RPM is one of my favorite IPAs of all time. We show up, and it's this little small room, and it's tasting.
It's a garage.
It's a garage.
Yeah. Matter of fact, one of my old bicycle pedals is there after I stripped it out of the crank.
Oh man!
I had just replaced them in Bend, and I had these extra pedals kicking around. I'm like, oh, I'll leave one here because they have some kitchen in their window. So dude, I haven't been there for a while. I'm not sure
you
if it's
just
still
left
there.
It in their window.
But it seems like the sort of place where it would still be there. But yeah. Anyways, you were there.
We
and
were
they
there,
had,
and they had a Crowler. Yeah. And I saw this thing. I heard we walked in. I was like, what's going on? There's a bunch of people there, and all I heard in the background was, and I was like, what is going on? And I saw them selling three packs. And the average crowler is 32 ounces.
Right. Yes.
Three packs of the best beer I can get my hands on. I was like, okay, what is this thing? And they said, it's a crowler. It's a can version of a growler.
Yes.
You can drink away, and then when it's empty, you smash it and you pack it out, and it's super light and super easy. And it's cheaper than a growler.
Right. And then you end up, like, if you get glass growlers, like when I found out when I moved.
You just
12
get
of them.
Tons of them.
One of which I have a lid to, and none of which I use. So, yeah.
Well, and how many people do you know, and maybe, you know, if it's one of you guys, I'm not judging, but how many people have growlers that they don't use because it didn't get cleaned right, and now it smells funky inside?
Refuse to comment on that.
and so now it's on your shelf, it looks cool, but it's not usable.
Right.
Well, that's not who we are in Portland. Well, that's not what we're trying to be.
Yeah, and you talk about camping and whatnot, like... Who wants to carry around an empty glass bottle after they've emptied it out?
Like, even a single serve empty glass bottle.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the crowler is great. That's the other thing I suppose I would say is that you should probably go to the Mini Mini and get yourself a crowler.
Get yourself
full
a
of delicious
crowler,
beer.
Whatever.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Well, beer, cider, kombucha, sparkling tea, iced coffee. We got cold brew by Stumptown, cold brew by Kova.
Crowler full of iced coffee?
Yes, absolutely.
Holy shit. Okay.
Crowler full of the Portland Ginger Brew. Crowler full of Jones Soda. We have a Jones Soda's soda fountain. And people come in and get that Jones Soda root beer.
Yeah.
And they take it to the office, you know, and they share it with people. And that's what I want.
Sharing is caring.
That, absolutely.
Matt, thank you for coming in. Congratulations on many, many. I look forward to my next visit.
All right.
Do you have time to hang out with us for our mail and news?
Sure.
Sweet. All right. Well, in that case, do you need another beer?
Yeah.
All right. In that case, here come your headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast.
All right, so first up our calendar, the 9th and the 10th.
Stream PDX,
our fundraiser party and 24-hour podcast challenge.
Open that right now. There we go. Because that's the sound of the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12th. Our beverage sponsor here at the Sprocket Podcast.
We haven't mentioned
fans.
Them.
If I'm not shopping at Mini Mini, you'll find me buying beer at the beer mongers because they have an incredible selection. And they are the best place that's open 365 days out of the year to go and secretly drink while your family's wondering how long it's taking you to get those batteries. I saw the owner, Sean, and he was saying, oh, we should keep some 9 volts by the counter.
He's like, no, no.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And they are the hosts of the location. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. We're talking about the fundraiser. Just save that and file that away and then come back to that in just a minute.
We'll just do some creative editing.
Stream PDX.
I'm interrupting just to go ahead and say that Beer Mongers is one of the institutions that makes Portland great.
They
are one of the places that adds to the diversity of this city.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, and all live sports games with sound.
With sound.
Yeah, and a big stick hanging from the ceiling. And there's always a seat for you. Thank you. We didn't even ask you to say that, but thank you. We like them as much as you do.
Love it.
Yeah. Stream PDX is that's the studio we live in right now. We sleep here at night to make sure they don't steal our studio gear.
It's an Airstream trailer.
And we are raising some funds to move our studio to a more permanent home. Right now, we're kind of borrowing space from this cool co-working outfit, but we have to move out because they're closing it down. So we're raising some money, and it's a 24-hour podcast challenge screening. So if you want to participate, if you want to show up and make some audio, you can record some stuff in our studio here. You can go home during those 24 hours and cobble it all together. You can go out in the street and record field audio.
Yeah. I would like to throw down the gauntlet to Guthrie Straw.
Ooh.
Steph Routh.
That's right.
Someone else who
all
I can't.
These
Tim
great
Mooney.
Audio creators.
I know you're going to be in town, Tim.
Tim Mooney is going to be here. That's true.
That's right.
So, yeah, if you like audio, you like making audio, it doesn't have to be a big project. Just we're having
Doug King Crispin.
That's right. We're having a screening.
Get your asses out here.
Yeah. So, and even if you can't come, and even if you don't want to make a podcast or some sort of audio thing, if you just want to give us money and help us find a new, more permanent home for the trailer, that's all we need. So I think we mentioned that all donations from the podcast for December are going to go towards Stream PDX.
That's right. So if I'm eating cat food this month for you guys,
and so am I.
Don't do that.
Well, we wouldn't go to Mini Mini to buy it. That's for sure. but yeah, if you're interested in supporting our relocation, you could sign on for a month of Patreon with us. We'll be putting that through. But whoever signs up through the month of December, when we get that that check cut in January, that's all going to Stream PDX, and then we'll go back to funding our own adventures. So, thank you so much for supporting us, whether
yes.
you are going to be here or not. We do appreciate it. So, a place I like to go. December 11th, the day after the podcast challenge.
Yes, December 11th is Kimmy Cross at the Beer Mongers.
Yeah, I was there
Southeast
earlier.
Southeast Division
and
12th.
That's what. Where was it?
Southeast Division and 12th.
That's right.
Or Southeast 12th and Division.
That's true. Yes. I saw Sean, the proprietor, and I saw Ashley and Daniel, and I saw Terry.
A veritable who's who.
Terry Campbell. They were all talking about
King
this event.
The Beer Mongers.
They were planning this event as I was shopping.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you get a sneak peek?
I saw that they were going to host an event called Kimmy Cross at the Beer Mongers at Southeast Division and 12th on December 11th. It's a cyclocross race inside of an alley cat race, inside of a cool beer shop. So, I mean,
yeah.
We're going to ride bikes outside, but.
And what else?
Well, you and I are going to be the
Black Knights.
Black Knights, which means we ride around giving people good luck or beer tokens or both.
Or lucky beer tokens.
And taking audio.
Best job ever.
It's pretty good. I'm excited about it. And we're going to be dressed up, we decided.
Yes. We'll put on our outfits.
Because when are we not?
Right now.
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, don't tell them that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we're wearing tuxes.
We're
right
so
now.
Polished.
Are
it's
you
amazing.
Wearing pants?
Don't tell anybody. All right, so December 18th, Puddle Cycle. The Grinch sing-along ride. We've been talking about this. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of The Grinch.
I got to say, I cringed a little earlier today as I was like getting yeah. all the notes and everything set up. I heard the Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Someone was playing that.
Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cringed a little, and then I realized, oh, right, it is that
it
time.
Is that season.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So The Grinch, if you are a curmudgeon about the holidays, this is your event.
That's right. And your heart may grow two sizes.
It's true.
And
what's,
you
what's
probably
next?
Should get that looked at. Next up, on the 23rd, I just added this in, the Silent Solstice ride
Silent
here in
Solstice.
Portland. Yes. Says, unlike its summer solstice counterpart, it will not roll until sunrise, but only till around midnight. During the ride, we refrain from talking. After the ride, we can gather around a fire as usual. Meet at 7, ride at 7:30.
That sounds nice. Who's behind this?
I found two people by the name of Greg and Noah.
Oh, that's good for them.
That's all I got. I found nice. This on the Shift 2 Bikes calendar.
Very cool. I would peg some money on the fact that that's probably the Noah that we've met from various rides.
I'm pretty sure
it is. He's pretty cool. He's a chill dude, and I could see him leading a silent bike ride. Yep. It was super cool. Yeah. December 25th.
Puddle Cycles Empty Streets Downtown Ride.
All I want for
I'm going
Christmas
on that one.
Is a ride outside with no cars around.
One of my students asked me, what are you doing for Christmas? And I said, I am riding my bike. Why would you do that? Because no one will be on the roads.
That's right. Yeah. And February 27th, again, Menagerie in Motion Kinetic Derby in Gainesville, Florida.
For all of our listeners in the Gainesville area.
Do you have an event that we should put on our calendar, please tell us. We'd like that. It's the sprocketpodcast@gmail.com or Twitter @sprocketpodcast. So, headlines.
Headlines. Yes. Speaking of events, this isn't one. Larry versus Harry starts global cargo bike partnership with DHL.
DHL. You mean like the cargo and logistics company?
Correct. The yellow and red. Here,
what does
me
it look
show
like?
You. Yeah, I will show you.
It's yellow
pretty
and
awesome.
Red. Yeah, this is pretty awesome. Josh G, our friend, sent that along.
Josh G, soon to be our senior news correspondent.
That's
check
right.
that out.
Awesome.
It's a bullet with a little DHL cargo thing on there.
That looks good. That looks natural. Yeah. Looks like that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're joining. This is in Europe, is that right?
That's right. Following the successes in Europe, DHL is set to introduce the build to its Asian partners in use for cities. At the present time, 75 of the bikes are on the roads in Holland and Germany.
75 over two
with
countries.
With the success to date leading DHL increasingly to replace vans with cargo bikes.
So why the hell isn't it happening in America?
Why is it not?
We need this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, I think we have a mutual friend who is currently driving a van for DHL.
We know a guy. Yeah.
He's going to have to start learning to ride a cargo bike.
Well, we can only hope. Yeah. You know, this joint, I know that here in town they were doing UPS deliveries for the Christmas season by bike.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and I don't know if they're still doing
that this year.
Well, it's seasonal.
I don't care.
No, I mean, it's a thing that, like, it's ripe time. It might be too late for this season. I don't know. But yeah. I think every Christmas I haven't kept up with that. So I don't know how that's going this year. But I know that they were in years past. They would use the cars, as they call them, the big van trucks. They would use those as hubs for these cargo bikes.
Really?
Or trailers, even.
So
I think it was, yeah.
You roll up to, like, one of their trucks.
The classic brown
UPS
truck.
With your cargo bike.
Yep.
Do you have to provide your own cargo bike, or do they have, like, UPS branded? Yeah,
we talked about this, like, in the news, like, years ago in one of the episodes, and I forget
have to check
the details.
This out.
But yeah, they are also doing that stateside. DHL is doing it all the time in Germany and Holland, and about to expand
and soon
into
to be,
Asia.
Yes, and its Asian
its
partners.
Asian partners, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see that in the U.S., at
right.
least in some more bike-friendly cities.
That'd be good. You know? I'd like to see it everywhere.
Yes. Well, definitely.
Every six blocks, everywhere.
U.S. Postal Service.
Damn straight. That's right.
I had this genius idea. I'm gonna bring it out now to the public.
Okay, this idea.
Maybe somebody,
copyright Aaron Flores,
somebody high up in the USPS might hear this. To you know, you have the truck, your mail truck, and you ride with that, and you walk away from the truck, but then you got to walk back to the truck.
Empty.
What if you had yourself a Brompton in your truck with the big mailbag mounted to the front of the Brompton?
You mean a British-made folding bike?
Yes.
To carry mail?
Yes.
That's a good idea. I like this.
Please, somebody, do this.
Please,
someone. I wanted to be a mail carrier just so I could try this out.
This is what's going on right now. Like, you know, Amazon is subcontracting the USPS, right?
Yeah.
So on Sundays, you can get orders from Amazon.
Right.
That's how desperate our mail system is for work.
Are we talking about like the USPS trucks with like the Eagle logo on them? Are those Amazon guys?
Yeah, on the weekends. Yeah.
Really?
So like I ordered something for my wife on a Friday night. I got it Saturday afternoon. Thought it was a fluke. Ordered
uh-huh.
something for myself on a Saturday afternoon. Got it on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
USPS.
Fascinating.
I knew that they had expanded their parcel delivery for Sundays. I didn't realize that was due to Amazon's.
It's part of it. And the part of it is trying to figure out how do you pay the bills in the changing economy when people aren't sending mail.
When no one's writing letters anymore.
No one's writing letters. How about you get rid of all the costs of all those trucks, especially in the communities where it's close enough to ride?
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even just cut the cost of some of those trucks. This is honestly, I'm gonna maybe take a swing at capitalism here real quick.
Look out,
capitalism. But this is honestly like one of my bigger issues when it comes to sort of the capitalist corporate setup is that a lot of people from the top will go, well, we gotta cut costs. We're gonna lay off people. Like that's almost always the first to go. And what that does is then there's less manpower to service whatever it is that you're doing, and so then your product or your services start going downhill. It becomes a slippery slope. Get more creative, capitalism.
That's right.
That's my spiel. For example, maybe figure better ways or more efficient ways to deliver the mail. Perhaps on a folding bike that you unfold from your mail truck. Anyways.
It's not one or the other. Multimodalism really is how cargo gets around.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, even without the bicycle, cargo gets around multimodally.
Yes, it does.
You know?
Think about what you just said is that they devalue the human being behind it.
Oh, right? Hell yeah.
And why is that? That's because that truck is worth something. And it can sit for a while, and if business picks up again, they can just put another human being in it. It's completely backwards. Those human beings can produce more and regularly more and a diversity of types of things that can make them more money. Get rid of the truck.
That's right. That's what we're saying. Yeah. And sell it to a guy like me who just wants a cool adventure to mount a bicycle to and drive out to some cyclocross course or something.
They don't get that good gas mileage, though. I don't think you want it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you want an old mail truck.
Should I go with the meter made enclosed motorcycle?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Those things.
All right. So, in other news.
Yeah, next up, also from Josh G.
Also our, multimodal.
Our senior news correspondent.
That's right.
Shaq rides a dirty sixer in an ad. Dirty
you mean Shaquille O'Neal, the yes. tall basketball player?
Correct.
How tall is he?
He is. It's right he's here. Seven foot one.
7 foot one.
Yes.
How old is he now?
Oh, man.
That's true. Like,
old enough to have his face on soda cans.
He's been retired for a while, though, right?
I think so. Playing the game, but yeah. Like he's got on sports TV and stuff
oh,
like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. So Dirty Sixer, the mountain bike company, built him a custom bicycle. What were the wheels again?
36-inch wheels.
36-inch
just for scale.
Wheels.
The old Schwinn were 27.
So, yeah.
And more often these days, you're going to get like a 650 that's closer to 26 inches or something. These are 36-inch wheels. They are 10 inches wider than most bicycles.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So have you seen this video?
I haven't seen the video. I saw the stills.
I'm going to play it right now because this is a great video. We can edit out like all this silence or whatever.
Also ask yourself, how much does he weigh?
Wanda Sykes in the back. On a follow me tandem! On a follow me tandem!
That's fantastic. Well, see, the funny thing is, this bike is built to scale for Shaq. And it seems to me like when he's standing over it, it just looks like a normally sized bike.
Right. And I do believe... Maybe it's not, but I think he's also wearing a nutcase helmet.
Oh, is that? Yeah, that's a Portland helmet right there. That's a cute helmet, too. Polka dots. Good for Shaq.
It is an American Express ad. You know, take away
go
from
capitalism.
That whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I just think it's cool. Thank you, Josh, for passing that along.
That is
to
pretty
us.
Cool. That's the thing.
Wanda,
I'm glad.
Honestly, like Shaq on that giant bike is pretty cool, but Wanda on the Follow Me tandem
yeah.
is even better.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's a really big Follow Me tandem.
Yeah.
You know, like a, what do they call it? One of those trailers with a bicycle seat and one wheel, for usually for your kids.
You mean like a Bob? No.
Yeah, I don't know what they call them. We're a bike podcast. I may not have the knowledge necessary to name and identify various products, but you know what we do have?
What's that?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
That's right. We got just a couple pieces here. First up from the Facebooks, we got a review.
A review.
5-star review.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Tracy, and I had to like take a minute and say Ryan Tracy because every time I glance at it and read it, I read Ryan and Tracy.
Oh.
As if this married couple had
reviewed
us.
No, just one person.
But just one person whose name is Ryan Tracy. Thank you. Rated our podcast 5 stars. Fun podcast about biking and Northwest American culture.
That's right. That's what we do. Thank you. Much appreciated. If you like the show and you haven't given us a review, they say there's magic in the reviews, and we're not trying to get famous or anything. But if you want to give us one, we're in all the usual reviewing places, and we will read it on the show.
Yeah, I just like reading nice things about myself.
Right, or give us a 5-star review with a terrible description.
How do you
5 stars for something like, we did terribly.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like a 1-star review, but it hacks the system.
Right.
Yeah, I'm in.
Like, 5 stars. You really dropped the ball on the name of that Follow Me tandem.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm gonna up the game. If you're in Portland and you listen to this and you give a review, a positive review, and you can come in and show your ID and that review, I'll give you a free crawler or whatever
Holy
you want.
Shit.
What the fuck?
Wow.
Do not be lazy. Everybody acts when they're mad about something. They never act when they love something. If you love this show, now's your chance.
Oh, thanks, man. Wow. So here's a question. I haven't reviewed my own show yet. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm going to buy mine because I like your business. Phil in Alaska.
Phil in Alaska says, Aaron, welcome to the Pugs Club. That is correct. I just dropped that I finally finished. And I should say this. I did not finish my Pugsley.
Your partner did.
Anna and I finished our Pugsley.
Together. Okay. Yes. You got a fat bike.
We got a fat bike.
Big old tires.
Yes. He says, just think, now you can take part in Global Fat Bike Day on the 3rd of December.
Global Fat Bike Day?
Global Fat Bike Day.
On the 3rd. Big boned.
Yeah, no kidding. That was 2 days ago now.
Correct.
By the time they hear this, probably 3 days ago.
Don't ask me what I did on Global Fat Bike Day.
I'm so tempted.
Nope.
Okay.
You can also ride where no mortal man was meant to ride, or woman was meant to ride. And then he also gives advice about, like, what pelt I should carry with me.
Oh, I see. Because he famously rides wrapped in a bear's pelt with another bear riding on his back.
He's got a bear pelt, but then another pelt or another bear.
I think he has a living bear on his back.
Right. It's only a pelt by default, but it's an actual living bear hugging him.
Okay.
A polar bear, I believe.
Was it? That makes sense.
That's the way I've always drawn it.
Because all of Alaska fits within the North Pole.
Maybe it could be like the whole, like, what is that? Polizli? What is it? Growler?
Oh, like
the grizzly polar bear hybrid is getting kind of like famous as proof of global warming.
Right, because they come south and then they meet these attractive grizzlies.
They're like, hey,
get together. What's
I
up?
Haven't seen you here before.
It's a nice coat you've got.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway. So he gives me some advice as to which pelt I should wear. While riding my bike.
Start with a squirrel and work up.
Start with a squirrel and work up. I think I'm okay with just the squirrel.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
We've gotten way far afield. He also says, I think we all need to cycle more and worry about what type of cycling we do, much less.
That's right.
Adventure cycling, transportation cycling, just ride. Make it accessible for all.
That's right. I do all of my cyclocross with a road bike.
And just for your consideration, a picture of the start of another great winter cycling season.
And it's another ice beard made famous by Phil. Phil is the king of the ice beard.
Until we get an ice beard picture from Doug, in which case then it's on.
That's true. Well, and Doug would have his own recommendations for which pelts we should wear.
Right.
And what animal should ride on your back as you do so.
Because it's a whole different biosystem over there.
It is. I'm guessing
Wisconsin,
it's a moose.
Alaska.
Caribou? Okay. All right. There we go. Well, this is the end of everything. Thanks again.
One more.
Oh.
From Superfan Aqua.
Speaking of the Pugsley.
Finally saw the Pugsley. That thing is badass. She came over to Anna's for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I didn't ask her to, like, get on and ride it.
Well, you're going to have to invite her back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Anyways, I'm bringing this out also just so I can go on the record and say, like, while I've talked about this a lot and I've kind of used these sort of possessive pronouns of like, I rode my Pugsley this, or I finished my Pugsley. I want to go on record and say, this is not my Pugsley. This is mine and Anna's. And we worked on this together.
We know what you mean.
I know, but I want it on record.
That's real nice of you to say that.
Yeah.
I bet Anna appreciates
that.
And
I could not have done this without her.
Yeah.
I would have just, I don't know, pissed that money away on a non-bike thing at, you know, and now we have this thing to show for it.
This is what we're talking about. Create a partnership. Have a dream. Go forward. Yeah.
Holy shit. I did it.
All right. Let's close this whole thing out. Again, Matt, thank you very much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. So here come our headline. Here comes our theme.
Here comes the headlines of the ending.
The headline and credits. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellumgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lee and Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt,
Zoe Capagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaser, Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley.
He's married, Peanut Butter Jar, Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Richard Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G, Guthrie Straw,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan, Michael Flournoy,
Magnus David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Poulton,
Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays, Tim Coleman,
Mr. T, Harry Hugel, Ed Whitman,
EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson, not his real name, and Subvert.
And all of our former donors who helped us get this far. Now brush your teeth.
And go to bed.